This is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Welcome to Don't Drink the Paint Water. This is Lisa. I'm so excited today. I have my friend Stephanie. Stephanie Hoff Clayton is an artist and instructor of intuitive art and painting. She believes that creativity alchemy happens when we allow intuition to be our guide. This alchemy is the poetry of life, a record of our dedication, obsession, meditation, and reason. This belief is a fundamental aspect of her teaching style, and it is the driving force of her own studio practice. Stephanie's art is part of several public collections, including Tallahassee Memorial Hospital in Florida, and Arias Fabriga and Fabriga Trust Company in the British Virgin Isles, and in private collections in Europe, British Virginia Islands, and North America. Stephanie founded Clayton Art School in Slidell, Louisiana, before teaching art for many years at Cedar International School on Tortilla, British Islands, and Doughty Arts Center in Austin, Texas. She currently offers courses and workshops in Tyler and the East Texas area. Stephanie received a BA from Tulane University in 1994. Born in Birmingham, Alabama, she now resides here in Tyler, Texas. Stephanie, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
I'm so excited. It's been nice having you come to the studio and stuff. It's been really refreshing to find somebody who looks at art in such a way. I feel like-minded.
Aw, thank you.
Let's get started. What do you like to have in your glass?
So currently in my glass, it's not paint water. but yes, I have accidentally ingested some in college painting class when I wasn't paying attention. Have we all done this? I think so.
Yes.
So currently I'm drinking a refreshing infusion from mint that I harvested from our backyard garden. Oh. And so I make these infusions from whatever needs harvesting, such as lavender, basil, mint, things like that, or from bulk herbs that I purchase. And hibiscus is always a favorite, although yes. I've run out of that. The flavor is so lovely, and the color is this deep red. So I'm using other ones that I have on hand currently, and that's why I have the mint.
I love that.
And speaking of paint water... I have been purposely adding floral waters and herbal infusions into my art journal painting.
Mm.
There's something quite magical and earthy about infusing one's art with plant essences.
I believe that. Have you tried painting with hibiscus tea?
That is on my list. That's coming up as soon as I order some more. I have to order some more today. So,
oh,
yes,
I would say next time you come through, I have a whole big jar. I grew some for a while, and so I've got some I'll share with you. But when it dries, it depends on the paper you use. It turns an indigo color.
Ooh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun little magical moment where it turns bright from bright pink to this beautiful dark indigo, depending on how many layers. So I tried that out once. I think that might be a good thing for you to put on your list.
Yes, adding it to my list, mm-hmm. for sure.
Well, with that, what have you been working on? What did you just finish up?
So I've been working on some large canvases. They're unstretched, and I'm using acrylic paint. And what I've been doing for the process is I've been laying the canvases on the floor and painting from there, which is new for me. I'm more accustomed to working from an easel or tabletop. And it's been interesting and liberating to paint this way. And because I've been practicing yoga for decades, I'm flexible and I like being on the floor. Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot.
Sounds fun.
And then also, I've started watercolor journaling and automatic drawing. As my work has evolved to become more heavily intuitive, these practices inform my portfolio work. And that's the work, of course, that I show and sell. Mm-hmm. And the journaling is really more for me just to explore and kind of dive into deeper realms of consciousness. So yeah, that's what I've been working on lately.
I'm excited to see this. You've been giving us some really nice little tidbits on Instagram, and I am so excited to see them in person someday.
Yay. Oh, you will.
Okay, good.
You'll see them.
What originally sparked your interest in art? I know a little bit of, you've got a really nice journey within your life, but I don't know what actually sparked your interest.
Oh, that is such a good question. It's not something that I can truly pinpoint, but I'll just kind of give a little backstory here. From a young age, I felt that I simply had to express myself through art. It was, for me, more than a creative outlet. It was as if I was responding to a mysterious sort of cosmic calling. There was a certain knowing I had that I was born to do this, and I seemed to intuitively know that I grew up to be an artist. So I began drawing a lot around age 4, as I recall. I did those loopy, continuous lines and shapes that most children tend to do. I think
great.
It was a repetition that was relaxing and kind of meditative for me. So I really enjoyed doing that. But the issue is I was drawing these sort of loopy lines and shapes in the front pages of my mother's books.
Oh.
Yes. She loved books and reading and was probably somewhat horrified. I do remember her saying, "Oh, Stephanie, let's get you some paper." So, yeah, being the good supportive mom that she was, she gently guided me to drawing papers instead. And later over the years, I would run across her books with my loopy pencil drawings and just be so amused. And I wish I had some of those books now, but they're long gone.
Oh, that's
I
just a really...
have the memory.
Someone somewhere has, like, bought the book, and they've got all your little imaginative young mind drawings there.
I hope so. Yeah, that would be nice. Anyway, so yeah, my mother encouraged me to draw and to make things from this young age onward. And she was my early biggest fan, which I know is pretty common with our moms when we develop a passion, and they, you know, good parents will encourage a child in that direction. And my mother did that. And so she was my first patron. She was very proud of anything I made, even the loopy book drawing.
I love that.
So, yeah.
I love that so much. So do you still have, like, any of those drawings from when you were a kid? It sounds like they definitely, they're still showing up in your work.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting. I never would have thought that I would go back to doing something like that. It's just been very sort of strange to me, and it's not something that I will to happen. Didn't intend to return to these sort of loopy, overlapping shapes, but it's happened, so I'm going with it. I think there's a lot of deeper things that can be said about that way of working, but do I still have some of those drawings? Are they still around from my early years? Actually, yes, not the loopy sort of curvilinear drawings that I've seen, but definitely some of my work from, you know, like as an older child and a teenager. My father has, you know, a good number of my work.
That's fine.
I don't have any, though. It keeps turning up.
There's
not in my world, but yeah, my dad definitely still has some.
That's special.
Some of that work. Yeah.
Well, if you could go back in time and give your younger self a tip or trick, what would you recommend to your younger self?
Ooh, so many things, but I'll just kind of narrow it down here. I would say persist. Develop a daily art practice, which I'm still working on trying to do, to be honest.
I think we all know it needs to be done.
Yes, yes. Definitely persist. That's a big one. And also in the same vein as persistence, just value and embrace the creative process to the point where you, meaning my younger self, wouldn't care about the outcome sometimes. Because we get to a point when we're making where, you know, we're concerned about the outcome. That happens in early childhood. I know you're aware of that as a parent and a teacher.
Yeah.
We get to a point where we're so concerned with how it's going to look that we lose that feeling we have during the process. And we're so focused on the outcome.
The disappointment
so I would
that
say
comes
value
with it, too.
That.
You know, it's like people get so disappointed because it's not what they thought it should be. And it's like, but it was so wonderful when you were really enjoying it.
Exactly. And I try to get back to that. It really is hard to return to that. But yeah, that would be one tip or a few tips in one. Also be fearless. Try new things.
Good one.
Yeah, it's taken me a while to find my creative voice as an artist, as an adult artist, and to boldly claim that role. Probably because of fear and distraction. So I would say be fearless. Easier said than done.
Yeah.
I still struggle with this.
Yeah.
I do. If I'd taken this advice at a young age, there's no telling where I'd be in my career now. I think I'd be a lot further along. Who knows?
Who knows? You're where you are. Yeah. I'm glad you're here.
I am
place.
Where I am. Aren't we all? And then over the years, you know, I fell away from art and explored other modes of self-expression, such as childhood crafts and writing, fashion, cooking. And I never intended to leave art for good. I was just having fun exploring and expressing in many ways. But making art felt the most sacred. And at times it was something that I feared, because what if I didn't measure up to my own expectations of what an artist should be? And what if my art was bad? I don't even know what that means, but
oh, no.
I think we all have an idea of what bad art is, and it's like something we fear, and and then what would happen? You know, I make bad art, and then it's the end of the world, right?
Exactly.
Or at least in my head, right? And so I struggled with this off and on for most of my life until now. I still do occasionally struggle with the fear. I think we all do. I think this is probably universal. And then teaching has been a strong impetus in helping me personally with creative blocks and fear of failure.
That's
I think teaching makes me a better artist. So I would definitely say advice to my younger self would be maybe to teach more, maybe to have started earlier in life teaching.
I think that one of the things I tell, like, even younger students, if you get a chance to teach a friend how to do what we just did, you will learn it better. It's like amazing to me how much more I know just because I've explained it several times and trying to figure out how I'm explaining it to someone so they understand it too. And it just unlocks a lot of information that we probably wouldn't get if we just stayed and kept it to ourselves. But I was okay, so I'm excited.
I completely agree.
Totally.
I also would say, in that same vein as, you know, just being a teaching artist, I'd also recommend to my younger self to continue actively learning. It's so underrated, I think. Art school is not the be-all, end-all. And, of course, when you're in art school, you kind of have that idea that it's, or at least I did. This is it. I'm learning it, and then I'm going to go out and make all of the art, and then I'll teach. Well, it's not that linear, and it doesn't need to be that linear, actually. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be linear. Be the student. Learn from other teaching artists. And this year I've made a commitment to do just that, to a commitment to myself to take continuing education workshops and classes. Like what you have at your studio, Lisa.
Yeah, I loved. Well, actually, that inspired me. I've got there's some classes that are going to be going on in the studio, not just mine. Which, if you're in the East Texas area, check them out. We're going to have some art classes at In Between Studio, and I'm really excited about them because I'm going to join them too. I was like, if somebody has an art class, I kind of want to go check it out, not just because, you know, it's my space. What am I offering? But holy crap, like, why am I missing out on something that's right there at my fingertips? So I was inspired that you were coming to my classes. I was like, this is a great idea. Good idea.
Yeah, it's so fulfilling, Lisa, isn't it? Just to learn from other teaching artists, and the potential for growth is just enormous. And not just in our art, but just in our, you know, our personal life as well. It's just, it's enormous.
It is. Well, it's amazing how everyone can have a similar experience, but say it in a different way. So I felt like I went to one of Jessica Sanders' classes this past week, and she was teaching some things that are similar to what I've been teaching, but she's saying it in a completely different way with completely different resources, completely different materials. And that excited me to kind of go back to some of the basic values I used to use, but I've kind of kept on the sidelines. Like, I'm like, I haven't used ink in forever. This is great. I've got to use ink again.
Right.
So that's been fun.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. It opens up so many new ideas and just new avenues for growth and exploration. And then we get to connect with other creative people, and it's a beautiful thing.
It's so
valuable. I think it's so important to keep learning. I know that we all say that, but I think it's undervalued. I really do. So those are the tips I would give my younger self.
Well, I feel like you just answered the question from the listeners, which listeners, please shoot me your questions for future episodes. I definitely love to see what y'all are curious about, and everyone loves to be able to answer so many different questions. This one was, how do you stay motivated even in tough times? And I kind of feel like we just talked about that.
Yeah, I think we did. I hadn't even thought of that. But yes, continued education or continuing education. Just actively learning. I have some other ways, I think, that I
share with us.
Stay motivated. I'm not really good with routine. I feel like I crave routine. Part of me does, but the other part of me is a little bit more free-form and free-flowing, and I like to see what unfolds, each new day, and then just kind of go with that. But that aside, walking in nature, I know everyone likes to say that, but it really is true, or just getting out of my head, getting out of my environment. Even just going for a swim in the pool, that really, I get a lot of ideas when I'm swimming.
I feel like water is
And
just
then
so
another
refreshing.
Way that I personally stay motivated is meditation. I notice that when I sort of fall away from my regular meditation practice, my motivation for art making can sort of fall by the wayside a bit. I get a little bit, it doesn't flow. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. The flow isn't there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I consider art, for me, it is a form of meditation. So yeah, once I get back into a regular meditation practice, I end up having visions during meditation. I really do. And a lot of those visions end up in my work in some ways. They're not necessarily exactly the way I see them in my head and heart, but they come out in my canvases and also on paper when I'm doing art journaling.
That's interesting.
So meditation is a big one for me to help me stay motivated.
You know, I've thought your work looks similar to what I see when I meditate, like on the back of my eyelids. I've thought, oh wow, there's some really beautiful patterns that are going on, and I've never thought about documenting
them.
But when I see your work, I've often been like, oh wow, that color combination, I've seen that before. I'm like, huh, interesting. So maybe there's a train
amazing.
Of thought that's connecting.
That's so amazing. I love that.
Well, what have you recently gotten out to see that knocked your socks off?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I know you get out and see art.
I do. I try to. So I don't think this is terribly recent, but I'm going to go with it. In February, I visited the Dallas Museum of Art with a good friend, and those who know me well know that Rothko is my favorite artist. His work is, for me, it's deeply emotive and encompassing. It's the holy grail of color, right? Radiance, luminosity. These are all the things that I seek in my own work, and I'm very drawn to these aspects of his work. I always seek out his work when I visit larger art museums. So, of course, on this trip to Dallas, I found this giant Rothko straight away from a distance. It was way off in a distance, and I had to stop myself from running because, it's a museum. We don't want to do that, right? I don't want to get kicked out of this museum. So anyway, it was one of his untitled paintings from 1952, and it was red and yellow, and it was just glowing. All his work doesn't glow. Some of it kind of absorbs the light, the darker ones, and this was one of his brighter pieces. So fortunately, my friend is an artist herself, my friend that was with me, and she understood my need to hang out with this luminous painting for quite a while, because I can't just go up to a Rothko and look at it and go, okay, and walk off. Oh, no. there's a relationship that happens. So this experience gave me so much joy, it's probably a good thing there was no seat in that particular space, or else I might still be there.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. Was it was the abstract expressionist show, was that where it was?
No, this was, I believe this was part of their permanent collection. I could be wrong.
Nice.
It was, of course, in their contemporary gallery.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I hope I didn't miss that one, because they had one up this year. I don't know, what it was, some point in the spring, and I got to go see it, and there was a really great abstract expressionist exhibit that they had going on, and I definitely spent some time in front of that Rothko as well. But if it was the same
I'll
one.
I'll have to send you that picture.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
send it to you.
Now I'm curious. Yeah. I'm like, oh, did I miss a Rothko? Because I look for them also.
Oh, that's lovely.
I wanted, I haven't gotten to do this yet, but on my bucket list is going to the Rothko Chapel and getting to sit around in there for a while, but I haven't gotten to do that yet.
Yes, Lisa, you have to go. I've been once, and it was really amazing. I know that's an overused word, but it really was very special to just sit. And I actually thought I would cry.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. You know, the paintings are quite dark in that space, but I didn't have those emotions. What I really felt was just kind of an empty, open, peaceful feeling. It wasn't melancholy, because, you know, a lot of his work is quite melancholy.
Yeah.
So you have to go. We should go.
Oh, we should have a road trip. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is going to have to happen. It's
gonna I'm
happen.
Up for that. Definitely.
I love this.
I have another friend, too, the one that came to the Dallas Museum of Art with me,
mm-hmm.
The story I just told about the Rothko, she is also trying to plan a trip
awesome.
To Houston to go for that very reason.
We need to do it this fall. We're going to have to do it. I love it.
Yes.
There's some things in Houston I've been wanting to go check out anyways, because it's been a few years. I just haven't gotten down there. But
It'll be there.
Well, mm-hmm. recently, this past weekend, I had some work in a show. There's two shows that are next door to each other, and I was just tickled by all of the work. So one is at RO2 Gallery, RO2 Art in Dallas. They have an annual show that they hadn't had in a few years because of COVID, and they had it this year called Chaos. And it could be considered chaos because every square inch of both parts of the gallery was just covered in art. There was over 150 artists that were handpicked for the show. So it was pretty exciting. There was a lot of friends I hadn't seen in a while. Just a whole bunch of different types of art displayed and everything's under 12 inches. So like lots of wall art, lots of small sculptures. It was a lot of fun. So that knocked my socks off just because of the variety of everything. Nobody's art looked the same. Everybody had a different type of art. And it was fun.
Oh, that's so much fun.
It
we
was
have
really
the limitation
fun.
Of the smaller size.
Yeah.
It's just amazing what people can do with boundaries, you know,
yeah.
with things like that.
So, and everybody has, a lot of people are usually making bigger works too. So that was even more fun, is getting to see smaller works by friends. But then next door mm-hmm. at the MAC, they also have their annual member show that there's over 100 pieces, and it's not hung salon style. It's hung typical gallery style, museum style. But everybody's like really close together, and there's also a large variety. So me and some friends all carpooled together, and we got to see both of them and say hi to people. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds amazing.
Do you have any online resources that you recommend to people?
I do.
Oh, goody.
Well, despite all of its flaws and frustrations, I would have to recommend Instagram.
Oh. That's true.
Yeah, I had a few struggles recently with Instagram, so I had to throw that in there. But moving on.
I think
everything's
we all
okay
are
now,
right now.
But yeah, obviously Instagram is not really an art community per se, but you know, there are, I guess, communities of art within within that platform. But I've had success actively engaging with buyers and galleries who have found my work through this platform. So I really can't complain about it.
And I agree.
On the contrary, I do have to recommend it for these reasons. Let's see. Another one is, and this is old school, Lisa, Wet Canvas Forum.
I don't know that one. No, I don't know that
no?
one. That's great. I'm excited. I'm going to go look it up.
Yeah. Now, that said, I haven't done a lot of, I haven't actively been on there a lot recently, just because, you know, I've found answers and information through other platforms. But Wet Canvas Forum has been a good asset for me in years past, and even now sometimes. In fact, I've been on them a lot. this week, off and on. I had questions about some materials, and I found out to find answers on what Canvas Forum. So, yeah, I found them ages ago when I lived on Tortola, which is a very small island, the British Virgin Islands, so it's in the Caribbean. It's somewhat isolated from the real world. I use that term loosely, real world. But if you ever go there, I think you'll understand what I mean. But so at the time I was living on the island, our community included very few professional artists to connect with and share information and ideas. There were a few of us, but not many. And so I would have questions and concerns about materials and in general. And so I would go on Wet Canvas Forum. I don't remember how I found them. But nevertheless, they were my go-to, and they still can be when I have concerns about materials or techniques. You know, the things they don't teach you in art school.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm gonna go look it up.
Check it out. Yeah. Now, I'll be really embarrassed if they've changed a lot because I was just playing around with them on my phone this week. But it looked about the same as what I remember from the old days. So I think it's still a good resource. But I definitely recommend people, checking that out. And then also, I recently discovered, this is just a really good resource here, recently discovered Artwork Archive.
Yes, I love them.
You know that one?
I was on there today. Yeah. I was listening to a webinar, and I was like, this is amazing, like about grants and stuff. I'm like, this is great. This is great.
Yes.
So that was,
Did you do that webinar, Lisa?
Yeah, I was just watching it yesterday.
Me too.
Oh my goodness. It was so helpful.
I did that one.
That is not something that my brain can wrap around, all the grant writing. And so every time I see anything, like Cedars Union has a few webinars that they've made that you can re-listen to. And so I was re-listening to that. And then the Artwork Archive came in my email. And I'm like, oh, there's another one. This is great. So hopefully I'll jump on those this year. Maybe.
Yeah, they're really good. There's one, and of course they're, you know, during the webinars, they do have, you know, they're trying to sell people on their.
Yeah, but they should. I mean, yeah.
Their software. They should, because it is excellent. It is excellent. So if you already know all that information, you're already a user of Artwork Archive, like an active user, some of that information might be like, okay, this is boring, or this isn't, you know. You can kind of, that's a good time to go take a break and make a cup of tea or something, right?
That's good advice.
But they're really great. Not just their webinars, and they have one today coming up this afternoon.
The
webinar. Yeah. I have to send you that information. But anyway, so it's an excellent tool for artists to inventory their work, for those that don't know, to store documents, schedule events, which I just discovered. How to schedule events.
It's great because then you
get
email.
Reminders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And
I
just
think
keep
great.
Track of all the important administrative stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
In one place, too. Not in multiple different folders, which is...
Exactly.
It's taken me a while to convert all of my information because I have a spreadsheet that I've been using for, I don't know how long, probably 4 years. And so it's taken me a while to transfer all of the different details over there, but it's so nice to know that it's a place that is organized and not and my weird color-coded nonsense that nobody would be able to interpret later. But
exactly. It's just so wonderful, and I've been looking for, you know, a software program or just some way to and not necessarily online, but digitally, you know, maybe download software on my computer or whatever. But my old software is now obsolete. And I discovered that some time ago when I went to try to use it and everything was gone. It couldn't read the software. My computer couldn't. So I thought, okay, I need to find a better system. But they're just wonderful. And I'd heard so many good things about them from other professional artists. So I checked them out. And yeah, I'm a big fan of Artwork Archive.
I am too. Well, speaking of places to go find information about artists, can you share with the listeners your website and your social media?
Sure. My website is stephanieclayton.com. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And for social media, I'm most active on Instagram. And my handle is @StephanieClaytonArt. Very easy. And then I do have a backup account on Instagram. Long story there, but it's my backup for now, but I don't really have anything on it, but it's called @Moonwater Studio.
Awesome.
And that will be the place where I start sharing about my upcoming classes. I haven't done any of that yet at Moonwater Studio, but I shall do that soon. I will be teaching again starting this fall, as you know.
Yay, I'm so excited.
So I'll be sharing on there. So that's my two Instagram handles.
Awesome.
And then I'm also on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I'm Stephanie Clayton Art on LinkedIn.
Fabulous.
And
I'll put links
Facebook.
To that. Yeah, I'll have links up on my show page. So that way it's easier for you all to check them out. But if you're listening on Spotify, those are some really great ways to access her art, see her, you can connect. And if you're local, please come to her art shows here at In Between Studios. We will post on our website some of the details and easy links for signing up. But with that said, I would love to invite listeners to check out my studio page. So you can find my art page. I've got a new website. It is lisahorlander.com. Very complicated. In the tab, you will find a link to In Between Studio, and that is my new art studio. It's shared with Jessica Sanders, and we have a micro gallery. Oh my goodness, it's very exciting to me to get a place that we can both curate as well as when we have an empty time, we can use the space to try to figure out our own art. So this is kind of a cool new thing that I'm embarking on. So y'all check it out. And please follow Stephanie online. You will not regret it. But thanks for listening. And thanks for being on the show today, Stephanie.
Thank you, Lisa. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TokiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode. It supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram @DontDrinkPaintWaterPodcast, yes, one word, to see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.